This is Standing Watch. And now, Evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. As the terrorist activities are ongoing in France, I'd like to take you back a little bit to events which have begun to occur in Germany. And I'd like to show you the connection which exists. First, I'd like to quote to you an article which was published by Der Spiegel Online in December of 2014, saying this: "Disenchanted German citizens and right-wing extremists are joining forces to form a protest movement to fight what they see as the Islamization of the West. Is this the end of the long-praised tolerance of post-war Germany?" Now, you got to understand, the Spiegel magazine is a very left-wing liberal magazine, so they have a certain viewpoint they express here. It goes on to say, what's going on in Germany, the world's second most popular destination for immigrants? Has the open-mindedness for which Germans had long been praised now ended? Many Germans share the protesters' view. Some 34% of citizens agreed with the Pegida protesters. Now, Pegida, you can perhaps describe that as patriotic Europeans against the Islamization of the West. And this article says that an American journalist stated that she had been under the impression that many were mourning the good old days. And then Der Spiegel Online is going to ask, what kind of good old days are we talking about? Are we talking about what happened in Dresden after 1933 or after 1945 and so on? Now, the question I have is, are Germans longing for the good old days when there was strong leadership? Because as I will show you, the comments which were made by the established parties in Germany are anything but productive. And they stir the pot, if you please. But first let me quote to you an article from AFP, which is a French news agency, dated December 22, saying this: a record, by that time it was 17,500 anti-Islamic protesters rallied for their 10th demonstration in as many weeks in eastern Germany, celebrating the rise of their far-right populist movement by singing Christmas carols. Germany has for weeks grappled with the emergence of this Pegida movement. Now, it says many Pegida followers insist they are not Nazis, but patriots who worry about the watering down of their Christian-rooted culture and traditions. Now, the established Christian churches don't like that, and so this article says that the Protestant bishop of Saxony State, Jochen Bohl, said that the Pegida followers, by singing Christmas carols, were seeking to exploit a Christian symbol and a Christian tradition for political purposes. And so then the article goes on to say that politicians from all major parties have been stunned by the emergence of the right-wing nationalists who vent their anger against what they consider a broken immigration and asylum system. And it says that, of course, the influx of refugees from Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, and several African and Balkan countries has strained local governments, which have scrambled to house the newcomers in old schools, office blocks, and army barracks. Now, this is the one side of the reporting. I mean, here are the bad guys, and of course they are against asylum seekers. That's not necessarily the other side of the story, and here I'd like to quote to you an article which was published by Breitbart, dated December 23. Despite the essentially ordinary character of many of the people taking to the streets for the peaceful strolls, and the admission by senior government and police figures that a great many of those joining in are families bringing their children, the organization has come in for stiff criticism and rejection by the heights of the German elite. And it goes on to explain that even Angela Merkel, in her New Year's address, warns the German people of this new movement. But you see, we got to understand that there's more than may meet the eye, because when All of this was happening at the same time. An article by NDTV reported on December 22 that the Turkish President Erdogan, and I quote, has stated that Turks should not take any contraceptions, no birth control whatsoever, because that is treason. That is treason as far as the Turks are concerned. Now, of course, Germans hear that. Germans don't like that at all. Reuters wrote on January 1, 2015, that one German in eight would join an anti-Muslim march if a rapidly growing protest movement organized one in their hometown. Now, again, let me quote from another article by Breitbart dated January 6, saying that Pegida, this movement, has now spread from its home city of Dresden, where now up to 20,000 took to the streets for their first weekly stroll of 2015, to other cities in Germany and in Europe. Despite the record turnout, many mainstream news outlets have chosen to focus on the growing counter-protests, which have outnumbered Pegida in German cities like Stuttgart, Münster, and Hamburg. Now, but listen carefully, who organized those counter-protests? See, on the one hand, they are saying Pegida, these are Nazis. And now look at the counter-protests. What are they? It says a grand coalition of left-wing politician parties and local associations of Muslim immigrants have formed in these areas and claimed 22,000 counter-protesters across the country. Well, of course, they would, you know, manage to have that many. But look how the German establishment has reacted. Very foolishly, I might add. In Dresden, the Volkswagen car factory turned off their lights, following the example of the local cathedral and state opera house. In Berlin, the floodlights illuminating the Brandenburg Gate and the television tower, the tallest structure in Germany, were turned off. In Cologne, the municipal power company turned out their lights, and the city cathedral was also darkened. The strolling Pegida members appeared to have responded to the blackout by marching with their mobile phone torches turned on and held in the air in a symbol of resistance. Now, the news struck of the terrorist attacks in France. And the reaction was predictable, depending on what corner you were looking at. Unfortunately, it didn't help the situation at all. And when I talk about Germany right now and the Pegida movement, we should understand that we have similar movements all over in Europe. But here Reuters wrote on January 8, anti-immigrant groups in Germany ceased on Wednesday's deadly attack in Paris with leaders of the Alternative of Germany party, that's one, and of course Pegida, saying it showed the threat of Islamist violence. Now, established politicians were quick to deny that, and so we have German Interior Minister Thomas de Maizière said on Wednesday the attack in Paris had nothing to do with Islam. And of course, President Obama said something very similar recently, which is, if you have studied Islam, if you have studied the Quran, which is just not true. It is not true. The Huffington Post wrote on January 8 that Muslim leaders and activists immediately denounced the terrorist actions, reiterating the verse in the Quran that tells Muslims when one kills just one innocent person, it is as if he has killed all of humanity. Now, of course, the big issue is, even if the Quran may say that, who is an innocent person? And listen to this article by CNS, reporting on January 8. In the wake of the terrorist attack, one Muslim cleric justified the murders under Islamic law. This was radical Muslim cleric Anjum Kudari, but he was interviewed on television. And it says that Muslims consider the honor of the Prophet Muhammad to be dearer to them than that of their parents or even themselves. That's what this guy was saying. To defend it is considered to be an obligation upon them. The strict punishment, if found guilty of this crime, now that's the crime, you see, under Sharia or Islamic law is capital punishment, implementable by an Islamic state. This is because the messenger Muhammad said, whoever insults a prophet, kill him. However, because the honor of the prophet is something which all Muslims want to defend, many will take the law into their own hands, as we often see, is what he said. So who is right? Who is interpreting Islam, the Quran, correctly? Now, many Muslims agree with terrorist activities to a certain extent. Now, of course, many don't, and they, of course, make some statements now because they are pretty much afraid as to what may happen to them if they would openly agree. And so we have comments made even in Egypt and other places by leaders to the effect that that was wrong, but they are not willing to give any freedom or liberty to their people in their country either. Newsmax wrote on January 8th, while France is reeling from the terrorist massacre of 12 people at the Paris offices of a satirical magazine, the country is also one of the worst when it comes to rewarding terrorism, lawyer and author Alan Dershowitz said. They have never been part of the international campaign against terrorism. They are part of the problem, not part of the solution. And so the article asked the question, is France reaping what they have been sowing? Dershowitz said that the attack should come as no surprise, given Europe's history of tolerating Islamic terrorism. We have tolerated extreme Islamic terrorism from the very beginning, he said, describing the Palestinian state as born in terrorism, with the assent of governments including France and Germany. Dershowitz also said that radical Islam enjoys support from millions of people in the Muslim world who support terrorism, who will be applauding what's happened today. Palestinians would not be getting a state today if it wasn't for their terrorists, he said. And there's some truth to that. And the question, of course, we have to ask ourselves in light of all of this, what is going to happen in the light of biblical prophecy? Are these movements going to spread? I personally feel that they will contribute to a certain extent to the rise of a strong leader in Germany and in some other European countries. I realize that Angela Merkel is very popular in Germany right now, but I personally feel, because perhaps out of default, because there's nobody else there. You hear somebody like Messier, the one I've just quoted, and you know there's really no alternative at this point, but somebody might arise pretty soon. And we know from the Bible, from the book of Daniel, for instance, that a European army under German leadership, a mighty European army, I might add, will invade the Middle East in the future, and also some Muslim countries. Now, also it's directed against Israel, understand that. It's a combination of things. We don't know exactly what will trigger this invasion. We have always felt that it will have to do with the fact that the Europeans will say we have to create peace in a situation over there in the Middle East, which is in turmoil. But some Muslim countries will be invaded, is my point. And we have booklets on that issue, Europe in Prophecy, for instance, and also other booklets, one I will mention at the end of the program, which go into this issue a lot deeper. But apart from that particular prophetic aspect, I'd like to give you a few scriptures from the Bible which have told us that in these end times we will deal with terrorism. One scripture I like to quote is from the book of Isaiah in chapter 30 and in verse 25, and I'm quoting it from the New King James Bible, because you see, when the reporting was going on regarding the most recent events in France, more and more people have been saying that this is something like September 11 here in the United States. And at that time, many people did quote this scripture, which I like to quote now. It says, there will be on every high mountain and on every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Now, two towers fell, as we all know, in New York on September 11, but the word tower can also mean the fortress, the protection. That's going to be taken away, and terrorists will come in to take them away. Here's another interesting passage in Luke chapter 21 and verse 26. And I like to quote from the NIV, saying simply this. These are Christ's warnings for the people in the end time. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. Isn't that an accurate description of what we have today? I mean, when you look at what is happening in France right now, and pretty much it's almost like, looks like the French army is now trying to take over in order to find those terrorists, and of course they have been dealing with some of them already. The question is it far too late now already? But you see, terrorism has become such a terrible reality. Here's another passage from the book of Isaiah, chapter 24, verses 17 to 18. And I'm taking this now from the RSV, and it says this: terror and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitants of the earth. He who flees at the sound of the terror shall fall into the pit, and he who climbs out of the pit shall be caught in the snare. Again, it comes to the point where nobody is safe anymore. Nobody knows anymore when it's going to strike. And this is the world we are living in. We should never make the mistake to belittle what those terrorists, those Islamists, are planning. We should never think that this has nothing to do with many in the Islamic world who would applaud their activities, because somebody is saying something against Muhammad. Now, if they say something against Jesus Christ, nobody really responds, it seems. We have two booklets prepared, which I like to bring to your attention, and I like to ask you to request free copies. The one, Biblical Prophecy, From Now Until Forever. Biblical Prophecy From Now Until Forever. What does the Bible tell us for today? What does the Bible tell us for the future? And here's another one, brand new, the most recent booklets we have produced. When and how will Christ return? When and how will Christ return? Does the Bible tell us anything about that? Now, don't be too sure that you know the answer, because you probably don't know it. You need this booklet. You need our literature. You need to listen to our Standing Watch programs as we show you and explain to you news events in the light of biblical prophecy. So today I thank you very much for your attention. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by the Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.